back, Shirelle Cash. We back. Javon, I don't know where he is. We've been trying to find him, and he's not here. So
hope he didn't go to D.C.
Yeah.
What happened in D.C.? Remember what we talked about last time? Yeah. That little van with the...
Scrotum van.
Scroto.
So you gave it a full. You thought about a full thing of it. The scroto.
So what's that? The new man. Uber service.
Great mobile.
Great mobile. Like the new Uber. Like you get an app for it and shit. You want scroto come and get you?
The Asper.
Uber. He's like, yeah, who's picking you up? I don't know. It's supposed to be some van.
It's real cheap though. Yeah. Cheaper than Uber, really?
Yeah, they got like 7 guys to help you in the van and everything.
7 guys.
The seats are wet.
Wow.
Rip, what's going on, brother?
Man, nothing much. Getting a couple hours in at work.
Yeah.
Having fun with that.
All right. Teddy, what's been going on, brother?
Hey, shit, bro.
Keeping it hanging. I guess he's not even a guest.
Nah.
He's like a
cousin that just drop in. Hey, y'all, I got some beer.
Right.
I heard y'all cooking wings. And they bring 3 beers. They only bring 4 6 packages.
You start calling me Lucky. Poetic Justice.
Lil Lucky,
that's my name.
Lil Lucky. Rashad Woody.
Rashad.
What's up?
Rashadism in the building. What's up, y'all?
Yeah. So we back. So not the many topics. We're going to really just talk about Straight Outta Compton really tonight. But did want to touch on 2 things before we jump into that. Your boy Jared.
We already covered it. You know that, right?
But I'm saying, but no, we ain't going into it extensively. We talked about him before.
You want to go a foot deep? Go ahead, Ray.
Oh, come on.
Pause.
Dang.
Pause.
Sorry, yeah, okay.
Oh, that was horrible. Yeah, man. So he's got caught up in, 12 charges or something? Or 12 different, like, kids he paid for sex?
No pun intended.
No pun intended?
Damn, he was paying... I knew he got hit up on some molestation charge. I didn't.
Well, he got hit up first with the child pornography.
Right, right. That's what I remember.
Then they caught him on some child paying for sex with children. Now,
who is he paying? Is he paying the kids?
Yeah.
Like,
should I know?
There we go. There we go.
I ain't messing with Teddy today.
There we go. How are these kids though? Like,
right?
Like, are they on the verge? Like, he was fucking some 17 and a half year olds.
I don't know.
I think they was young.
So the count was 12.
Somewhere up in there,
like 12-inch. Sandwich. That's a foot long, right? That's why I was just kind of...
What's fucked up is a PR nightmare for Subway right now.
Oh,
right.
Man.
Like, they need to just cut him out. They need to do another commercial with another dude named Jerry. Like, I'm the new Jerry.
No disrespect to anybody named Jerry, but that sound like a molester name. You know what I'm saying? Just being honest.
Is it the difference between a Jared with a T or Jared like his with a D?
Yeah, damn. I got a cousin named Jerry, so I need to change
Jared with a T... Sounds different than Jared, because this is Jared with a D.
So you think a Jared sounds
Jared
more suspect?
Jared sounds better. Jared with a T sounds better.
Okay.
Jared with
How
a D.
How many motherfuckers really pronounce the T?
Why?
Like when I was like, your cousin Jared, if I say, yeah, call cousin Jared over here. You don't know if I just said T or D right there.
So black people say Jed. They don't even say whatever.
Yeah, say the red part. It's horrible. He got all these footlongs out here, and he giving them out.
Giving that special mayonnaise to the... Nothing.
It's a horrible situation for Subway.
It really is.
Meat
Look
sandwich.
Look at their Twitter page and they mention, they be like, y'all rapists too. I'm like, damn.
Damn.
Like, we didn't know about this.
But no, because people are dumb as fuck. They think Jared fucking owns Subway or some shit and they fucked up minds. So they associate him with Subway.
Meat sandwich.
I know they gotta be mad as a motherfucker.
Oh, I know they.
He lost a lot of weight though. We gotta.
Yeah, but they. If I'm Subway, I'm trying
to. We didn't say you weren't gonna be fucking people in the ass. We said we're gonna let you lose some weight.
Right.
If I was wondering, if you're Subway, are you trying to sue Jared and try to get some money back potentially because of like maybe some morality clause?
No, I think they're gonna just try to stay clear away from him.
Like not even try to sue him to get money back. Like fuck it, you just got whatever.
They about to have a special out the ass. Like for real,
out the ass,
and like out the ass. It's going to be like 3 for 1 in this motherfucker. Like, I'm serious. Like, there's no
meatball sandwich.
Either that or like Jimmy Johns with another suspect name. They about to win like a mug. Yeah.
You said who?
Jimmy Johns gonna come up. Quiznos too.
And Quiznos, yeah.
Quiznos, they finna come up.
I always like Quiznos better than
Subway. Sucked always. They garbage except for
It was like fucked up because it didn't seem like a long time when we was kids coming up. Subway was like the only sub place like a national chain,
right?
And it was like fuck it, I guess I want a sandwich
so because they were so cheap though. Like they were like franchise wise, they used to say like Subway's was like one of the best to invest in. Like,
really?
Like probably like the early yeah, mid 2000s. Because yeah. you could get it for, it was like fucking maybe like 20 grand.
Really?
It was super, yeah. It was below, it was 50 or below. It wasn't at like
$100,000.
Wow. Nah.
Wow. 50 grand?
Dang. Yeah, Subway it was super cheap.
They had good peanut butter cookies, though, dog.
That's how I go there to get cookies.
But that was Quiznos some the bait best. Probably for some...
Some bait. Right. It's like some bait, like you're it's like what was it? Like Hansel and Gretel or some shit.
So you want a 6-inch, huh?
That's wrong.
That's wrong.
You like mayonnaise?
Sweet onion. One or two.
Other topic was oath, the Oath Keepers are trying to be up here in Ferguson, trying to get 50 black people to walk around with open and carry guns.
Not gonna happen.
You know they gotta get licensed for that shit first. Like,
hey, okay.
Right.
Bernard, for real, we can do this. I can give you this gun, and I promise you, you can walk around and they're not gonna say anything.
Straight up, so I can go shoot Cortez.
No. Just walk around with it.
No, I want to shoot Cortez though.
No. Walk around with it, let them...
You can't give a nigga a gun and just make him shoot it.
Well, apparently. It's just fucking horrible because it has... It is going to be some motherfuckers up there, they'll be like, yeah, fuck that, I'm finna give me an AR-15. You know, they ain't fucking with these white people. They ain't going to fuck with me either.
And, cuh, I'm holding it sideways, cuh.
Holding that AR-15 sideways. You go.
Your ass going to get super murdered, man.
I mean, I just wonder, like, with all this turmoil and shit going on in our country, all this shit, was this shit this... I wouldn't say... Of course, it was worse in the 60s. But I'm talking about, was it this disjointed...
Well, the problem,
in the 60s, like, I mean, just disjointed, like...
No, because it's not, like...
Or do we have revisionist history and we just don't know about the poverty network coalition that we just never heard about in history books?
No.
And they may have been not getting along with Martin Luther King and some shit, like, no, fuck that, we finna boycott the motherfucking bakeries. That's where we mean to boycott it. And maybe it was some people that just never knew about them, and they had a hold of the movement.
If it's somebody's history,
right,
they could have left some stuff.
But that's why I be wondering, like, if it's disjointed now, it has to be.
I can tell you being on the grounds, it's disjointed like a
motherfucker. I know.
I think in the 60s, it was probably more, and this is just a thought, that black people were much more on the same scale than they are now.
Because of technology?
Yeah. Because not even just technology, just...
Community.
Just community. Like, community. Yeah. Because think about it, like...
But I've read a lot of shit that's saying that our communities weren't as tight as people believe.
No, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. It's super tight. Because the thing
they
is...
They was on the same page. It was more on the same page.
They was on the same page, and there's a common enemy. Like, it don't matter. You may not fuck with me, and, you know, we can...
Surprise Move was 20%, 10-20% of the population, the only ones that was doing shit.
That's fine, but that's the part that they see. But and think about it. If it's only 10-20%, how much easier is it to get those 10-20% on the same page?
But how many? Do you think it's 10-20% now too, or you think it's more than 10-20%?
I don't think it's that many. I think here's the difference.
You think it's less people that are protesting, or like trying to be within a movement for social justice?
I think
justice?
It's less people now because more people feel like they're doing shit because they're keyboard warriors.
Woo!
Been talking about that.
You see what
all
I'm saying?
Day.
So there's a lot of people that are talking. I mean, and all of it helps because you're sharing
keyboard
information. You're trying
to
put it out there. You're trying to make people aware. But they couldn't do that then. You know what I'm saying? Like, to make your voice felt, you had to go out there. You had to be in the streets. You know what I'm saying? Now it's like, you know, I did my part. I said what I wanted to say. You know what I'm saying? And there's just a lot of stuff that's getting swept under. Like, I think in the 60s, it was, I don't want to say it was a white versus black thing, but it felt like that. Now it's kind of like the people versus the police. You know what I'm saying? Because at this point, yeah, they're shooting black people on a larger number than they are whites. But white people getting fucked up too, which is why they probably get part of the movement, because they're like, oh, they weren't lying.
Right,
you know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
Like, oh, you're not making this shit up. Well, you know what I'm saying? Because they're not giving a fuck regardless.
I could just tell you, it seems like it's the people versus the people versus the people versus some other people over here versus the police. Because it's just real messy.
So it's just
man.
The Royal Rumble.
Oh, no,
it's the Royal, it's the Royal Rumble. And everybody's fighting each other to fight the cops.
It is. Like, I put up a post today where I kind of just spazzed out because I got tired of hearing Negroes. Like, everybody started, it almost seems like we all started fighting each other to see who's the bigger victim. not who's how we're gonna come together and do stuff. It's like, no, we're victimized like this. No, well, we more important because we victimized like this. And it's just, man. It's,
well, I mean,
it
like,
got
what do you mean?
Well,
like, what movements are you speaking of specifically? Like
gays.
Well, you, I mean, not even that, man. Like, it, well, that too. But you have like a straight. It's just like a gay agenda, a hood agenda, a Facebook agenda, a Twitter agenda. You know, people are starting to like with the whole what is it? The Black Lives Matter.
Yeah,
they're coming under a whole bunch of scrutiny to the point that they're battling each other on Twitter. Just today,
Dream Hampton got into it.
Yeah,
with,
got into it with a girl from here.
Yeah, Netta. Yeah,
just yeah, saying Netta. I gave you $750
to go see the president.
Yeah, but yeah. Like, why is that? You know, it's just like getting so messy.
And Dream Hampton got to some other chick too, though, like from DC or something too. She got into it with her too.
And
I'm talking about she fight. She put on there. If you go on her Twitter page, I'll come fight you.
What is that?
Why?
What is that?
See,
you know what I mean?
See, that's the problem, though, is that it was funny because I was talking to my boy that's a police officer because we, you know, we were talking about everything that happened yesterday.
Yeah.
Right? And so...
People don't know that's not in St. Louis. Young man, 18 years old, was shot.
Happened,
yeah. 9-year-old was shot in her home, and her mother was shot as well by stray bullets, I'm assuming they said, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then another situation, a man comes out of a house... supposedly brandishes a gun at the cops and he's shot and killed. So that
and one of the arguments was
what's going on.
And not to cut you off,
and
one of the arguments.
And one more thing before you go on.
No, go ahead.
Tuskegee Airmen supposedly got
robbed.
Twice.
Yeah,
this is all in St. Louis.
He lived across the street from my parents.
Yeah,
all in St. Louis.
So
it's starting to turn into like this thing like where people want to stand for what's right. But now it's like a million opinions on what's right. Why, you know, people are like, well, why y'all march for, you know, or protest for the people who got shot by cops if they pulled guns on the cops and nobody did anything for the young lady that got killed? And then it's vice versa and stuff. So I was like witnessing this stuff yesterday. Like, are y'all kidding me? It's a debate about who y'all should, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Where should the energy go towards and who should be giving a fuck more about this or that?
And then you got the group, or another group we forgot, the what about black on black crime, you know what I'm saying? So
fuck them, I'm not even talking about
but I'm just saying, it's like, even though initially it seemed like they were the greatest distraction. You know what I'm saying? So we thought. Now it's like all the distractions are equal. Well, nobody knows what to do.
See, honestly, I think the problem is that there is this... Like, the Black Lives Matter movement.
For the record, got owned by fucking Hillary Clinton.
I mean,
I saw that interview.
Them motherfuckers fucking owned. And that's a whole other thing, though, because I think they pussied up there or whatever.
I mean,
well, she stepped to him like, well, what y'all... In so many words.
And
no,
I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm just saying the way they... And I ain't saying I don't believe no politicians, but I'm saying they kind of fucked around Bernie Sanders. And it lends a lot of conspiracy theories the way that shit went down with that. And I'm not... I don't know about if it's a conspiracy, but it does lend to the conspiracy theories the way that Black Lives Matter meeting went with Hillary Clinton and the way they've been doing Bernie Sanders. And it's weird because they attacked Jeb Bush as well. Which is funny if you want to go into a conspiracy theory about it, because those are the two highest candidates that Hillary would have to face, period.
Right.
They're not attacking the other Donald Trumps because they know that he ain't going to fucking be there. They know Jeb Bush is going to be the fucking Republican candidate.
Yeah.
And Bernie Sanders is her immediate candidate now, so that's the ones they're attacking it. And O'Malley was, they're like, oh, O'Malley ain't
shit.
Well,
they're also the ones that try to lend, because they have the most to gain if they can get...
Right, and
the
I understand
vote.
That movement
so,
with it.
No. I'm talking about
you touch
Bernie me. Sanders and Jeb Bush, because they know likely, like, Hillary's already been pushed. They've been talking about Hillary since Obama.
Yeah,
true.
Since Obama been in there.
And
true.
She got this game on lock on y'all motherfuckers. Y'all watch this motherfucking campaign. She going to roll out on y'all.
Because she learned from everything she did wrong.
That she looked off in the first motherfucking time.
But that's my point. So in that, she knows that she knows that more than likely, most black people don't even know about Bernie Sanders, real talk.
No.
So Bernie Sanders has to give them an avenue and a voice to speak. So that's why he not doing the same shit. Like, all right, you niggas can protest. If you want to do all that shit, you just got to do it over here in this little blockade.
Yeah, like this shit.
What the fuck
the
you
corner.
Know what I'm saying? Stay over
right.
here.
Right.
Then I come holler at y'all for 5 minutes.
Right, exactly. Like Hillary's doing. But he's trying to allow him, Jeb and him are trying to allow them a room, you know, voice to speak and not show themselves as like an aggressor or, you know, or oppressor or whatever. Be like, yo, I'm trying to give everybody an equal voice.
And it's a weird kind of, because I really haven't wrapped my mind about how I really feel about all of them. I'm kind of back and forth with everything, everything that's kind of going on, period. I'm really kind of in a hazy place with it. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking about it more of like, Is it because, and it's, I don't know how I can really say this without like being sounding fucked up in so many ways.
Nah, kick it, man.
But is Bernie Sanders and them being attacked because they are looked as more of a oppressor because they're white men? It's not as easy to an attack or attach to a Hillary Clinton because she's a white woman. Even though a white woman, I know it doesn't mean, you know,
you
talking about.
Are you saying
okay, she's oppressed too because she's a female. So therefore, and you look at white men as the ultimate oppressor,
right?
Like just representation wise, period. Mm-hmm. So it's easier for me to throw stones at them more than it would be against Hillary.
I don't think that's it, because the thing is,
I'm saying is that psychologically for people.
I don't even
as well.
I don't think it is. I think when they see Bernie, that Bernie.
Bernie fucked up on a lot of shit. He did, no doubt.
Well, Bernie on
campaign wise.
Well, Bernie period is known for being a people's champion.
Yeah.
Period. So there's no way that you're going to see him knocking down a person if this is his claim. So you can. He's going to allow you the avenue to speak and say whatever the fuck.
But
that
see,
you
that's
want
the
to
way
you
ain't gonna win. That's fucking
not,
how
that's
Hillary
not what we're
is playing
about,
the
That's
chess.
Not what we're talking about. Yeah. Though we're talking about what he is and why he's being viewed the way he's viewed because. They look at him as they call him, you know, the most socialist Democrat that you'll ever meet.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And in that is being about the people and everybody getting the same playing field. So they know the likelihood of Bernie Sanders being, you know, strict as hell on people trying to comment and have a conversation, do all that, is not going to be as likely as, you know, Rodham.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Who's been in the White House before, you know, as the first lady, who's already run for president, like. They know that, you know, it's all about strategizing. Right. You know that Hillary's not going to allow you an avenue, so it doesn't make sense.
Right, right. And you can challenge Bernie Sanders more.
Right. And their whole agenda.
It's a chess game, though. I get it for them. Like, but yeah. I get where they're coming from.
Well,
I get what they're trying to attack him.
But you also
he's more accessible.
But you also got to understand their whole agenda, because their whole agenda actually ain't even talking to either one of them.
No, it's not. It's just in a whole general
situation. It's just to get on national television.
Thank you.
And get it seen.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. So Rodham's not going to fucking do it. But I know that Bernie Sanders is gonna let me get up here and not say shit because it done happened twice.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
right.
And he ain't saying nothing. And at that moment, I was on national television speaking about what the fuck I feel. So that's what I was saying with the Black Lives Movement or the Black Lives Matter movement. I think the issue is, and this is why I was having that conversation. It gets tough when you tag something. You know that when you label something,
or
you
give it a movement
it.
Like a name,
right? Because at that moment. Anything that kind of looks like that
is
automatically gets swept up in it.
That's true.
So you know what I'm saying? So like perfect example, what Rashad was talking about, you know, you got the little girl that got shot and you got a homeboy that was running out of a crack house with a gun, you know, that they found. Now granted, it's a who story versus who.
Yeah, we don't know what.
But right. At that point, it doesn't matter if it's a known crack. Like, there's a warrant to kick down that house, period.
Right.
You know what
so
I mean?
So we know
it's
a crack
so house. Something's fucking going on. But at the moment, but again, they're protesting down there. They're protesting at the crack house and not protesting at the girl's house. Now, granted, these people are supposed to be paid and protectors or whatever, but should that be classified in the Black Lives Movement? Because
right.
that the moment a detractor comes and tries to have a conversation, yeah. he's going to bring that up.
Yeah, so now all of this becomes definition of Black Lives Matter.
Exactly.
And now on the bigger scale or the global scale, it'll become even more of a joke. You know what I mean? And I say joke loosely,
yeah.
but... Even how you were talking about with Hillary Clinton, just pretty much kicking it. Like, okay. Like, oh, well, yeah, we feel this.
She spent that shit so good. So,
like, oh, man, spin doc. You call her Clyde Drexler.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The way she spent that. But what it is what was going to happen anyway. At some point, everybody going to have to stop talking. It's funny because we talked about that last year. Right?
Yeah,
on
yeah.
You know,
right
on this
here.
Show.
Yeah, right
and
on.
We still saying the same thing. So
need
at some point,
agenda. Some agenda.
This person of power... that you're trying to go after is going to call you out and be like, okay, well, what you trying to do? And you can't stumble over words then because just like he said, the definition of this movement or any movement that get that shot, that was a great shot for you to kick how you feel, what you want done, you know what I'm saying? All of that stuff. And
my thing is more of the federal thing because one of the young brothers, he came to Black Men Speak, what we do every 2 months that we have, like, brothers get together and we just discuss different topics.
Okay.
I forgot the young brother's name, man. I forgot his name. But he actually got to meet Obama, and he talked to him about everything that was going on in Ferguson. He's one of the first kids that was out there in Ferguson. I forgot his name. He's going to Howard now.
Okay.
And he said Obama, he told me Obama straight up told him, it ain't shit I can do. Like, yeah. y'all got to put pressure on the people locally. I said, he said, it's not shit I can do from my position.
Right.
Like, period. So why are we putting pressure on them? Why aren't we bum rush some of the governors, bum rush some of the mayors, bum rush some of these other people? Federally ain't going to mean shit, because what's going to happen is a state like Alabama's like, fuck that. We got our own law here.
Yeah.
So let's put pressure on the people locally within these different places in the municipality, which they are doing, they definitely are doing.
But
I'm just saying, no, fuck a Bill, fuck a Bernie Sanders, fuck a Hillary. Let's put some fucking pressure on Governor Massachusetts.
But generally speaking, this is kind of piggybacking off of what Ted said. That's when it becomes work. That's when CNN, you're not going to be CNN ready. You're going to be work ready. You're going to have to know your stuff.
You're saying that you're not going to be on TV as much though,
because
you only
attack. Yeah, because that's one of the strongest, you know, criticisms that they're receiving. It's like, yo, you're just trying to be seen.
Well, here's the other thing I thought about too. Like, and I, you know, I haven't been following it that closely.
Uh-huh.
But the thing that also kind of separates the leaders, and this is why, going back to black people were close on the same field. When we talk about like the agenda and the things we want and the demands and the stuff that we're looking for, in the '60s, where was that coming from?
What do you mean, the demands?
Mm-hmm. Who?
From leadership. From the leadership.
Exactly. So who were the leadership though?
Your people like your Norman Says, people like that.
That's my cousin, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Shout out to Norman Says. Yeah.
Martin Luther King, all the rest of
stuff. Malcolm X. Yeah.
Malcolm X.
Your Andrew Young.
The people who already had a large amount of crowd.
Julian Bonds, RIP to Julian Bonds.
Right.
The people who had a large crowd following.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen any mega church person?
Not a goddamn
Woo!
One.
We were just... Look, when I went to the Mike Brown Memorial, when I went to the hood on Sunday, that was during the anniversary. You know what I mean? That's the number one thing that everybody said. It wasn't a mega church saying anything. Shout out to my man, DeMarco. He was talking about how, like, it wasn't
He's in divinity school right now, right?
I believe
yeah.
so.
Yeah, he's in divinity school, yeah.
And he was just saying, like, it wasn't even a conversation in the church.
It's smaller about church people that are the ones that's fucking is. Out there. Like,
my,
small, they only can be 100, 200 members.
Right.
I went with my fiance's church. You know what I'm saying? They've been down there before. But it's amazing to me because you have these same motherfuckers.
Right.
And excuse my language.
No,
but these same motherfuckers.
Fuck
I'm just saying, it's the same.
Creflo Dunn.
But it's these same people that are talking all this shit on, like, post this and, you know, if you post this in 3 minutes, God's going to save you. Type amen.
Right.
You quoting these motherfuckers. You quoting these people about changing your life. And here's a year's worth of opportunity. And you ain't seen none of these niggas on any sort of television.
T.D. Jakes, your fucking Creflo should try to do a sermon about why he deserves a plane.
A motherfucking plane.
Ain't said shit about these motherfuckers getting shot every motherfucking day.
Right. Didn't he get the plane?
Yeah, he got the plane. You know he got the plane. Come on, man.
$65 million.
You know he got the plane, man. I'm trying to study up on the Creflo on the low. Y'all know, fuck that.
We might as well go on into it.
That's what I'm saying. We might as well go ahead, you know, hey.
But that's what I'm saying. But that's where the difference is. So you had these mega leaders who people came to see and trusted, were meeting and trying to decipher and come up with strategies on where the pressure should be. So, like, perfect example, you say, we need to press the locals. Some motherfuckers will be at Jay Nixon's house. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right,
yo,
exactly.
We need to motherfucking talk.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
This shit would happen. And people trusted them and they followed. Now, I don't know if it's the fact that people aren't in church anymore, but if you got a motherfucking mega church of 3,000, 5,000...
You can get half of the motherfuckers out. You can get half your congregation out. You're putting in some fucking work.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. And so, like...
Creflo could send one email out and be like, you don't have to pay tithes next month, but I need y'all at the Georgia Dome for we doing a Black Lives Matter there, and we finna...
But that's it. But that's why, though. So, you know why it doesn't happen like that?
Because Black Mercedes matters.
Black Mercedes. So, like Rem was saying, we're not on the same page anymore.
Right.
Like, these cats with these mega churches, you know, they clocking millions of dollars. So at this point, why do I risk my life and my livelihood for some shit that really don't involve me? I can pay y'all to get out of bail. They're not gonna shoot me. They might take me to jail, but I can get the fuck out. You know what I'm saying? So
and as whack as that is, I can respect them for that. And the reason I respect them is because they're being honest about who they are. What their agenda is, I really don't care about Negroes unless they're in my church giving me their W-2s or whatever they got to turn
in. When their church here, was it here? Or Memphis, that kicked out a They kicked out a 92-year-old woman because she had not paid tithes in a month.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, for real.
Mm-hmm. And then we got a woman now that they put on a bill and bill collector, sent her to collections in Florida that we talked about. They sent her to collections and told her what the payment plan should be for someone, you know, what age and what you should be tithing.
Shoot, that dude in the damn Hell Nah 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 song was, if you listen to the full song, he actually telling you what they do.
Yeah.
See how much money we got. I got to get my truck and go eat and all that shit. So he just telling you how I go.
Dick and get the money. We going to Red Lobster today.
I mean, it's the truth.
So, I go to his church, though. Just to hear him sing that.
I know. I do want to say this, though. And I've been meaning to holler at you because I kept saying, Ted, we need to rap. But, like, just... You know, and I say this just because it was the truth that, like, day one, I was out in Ferguson.
Yeah, no
you know, that could be true. Yeah. And but the thing is, people are starting to say that now for a badge of honor, and it really ain't a badge of honor. You know, it just meant that I cared about something and stood up for something, and I was out there when it wasn't cool to be out there. I was out there when them cops were still on the Quick Trip lot talking about it. You come by this ATM, we'll blow your fucking head off, all of this stuff, and where it was literally maybe 40 or 50 people, you know, just standing there. And everybody else kind of was like, well, I don't know if I want to fuck with this. You know what I'm saying? And the funniest thing, I always think about this. The initial people that were out there were on some other stuff, if you know what I mean. It was like, yo, we got a chip on our shoulder, and you that chip, police officer, if you can, you know, so connect the dots. But I saw that stuff grow from people in the neighborhood and people from other neighborhoods coming to stand for something to... You had, you know, a bunch of, you know, like the, I don't even know the letters, the LBG, whatever the...
LBGT?
Yeah. So you had them come out there, and they kind of, yeah, we stand for it too, but we going to slide this in there. And then you kind of had, you know, the Jewish people coming out there, this. And then, and it's funny, it was all this chaos. And then I personally saw Black Lives Matter just pop out of nowhere. And I was always curious to, like, how that started. You know what I'm saying? Was it just a bunch of people who were just like, which Black Lives Matter every day, all day, in all situations. I agree with that. But it almost, to me, and this is Rashad saying it, Rashadism at Twitter, so if you want to get at me, trust me, you all right? But it almost just seemed like it turned into a gang. You know what I'm saying?
Like Black Lives Matter versus like Hands Up United or something like that? Or?
It just, to me, it seemed like it was unity, but it wasn't unity because the different agendas started breaking off. You know what I'm saying?
Like, okay. I mean, and like, what do you mean agendas? Like, what?
You tell me. You know what I'm saying? So it's the thing. It just seemed like, well, I'll say this. I'll say this, not to complicate this whole conversation. When them TV cameras start rolling, and it was known that you could be seen anywhere, everywhere, it just, that's when I started kind of seeing, like, division. You know what I mean? Where it was like you had, now this is just me personally. It was like you had your Muslims, you had the Jewish, the Black Lives Matter, the hood niggas matter. You know what I'm saying? The I'm trying to catch a nigga because it's a gang of niggas out here matter. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm just being honest. I can true this.
So are you alluding to that women are out there to catch a man?
No, it was women out there trying to catch men. That, like, shit turned, by the end of the week, I was calling Rim like, yo, this shit turned into the strip.
Really?
Dude, my word. And that's
talking about the first time?
The first time, yeah.
No, oh, yeah, I know.
So not,
you know,
no, I'm not talking about with the memorial.
Okay, that's what I was talking about. I was talking about the first time. Yeah, oh, yeah. It was like the old, I was out there, the whole old Broadway strip.
So, yeah, thank
on the riverfront.
So this is what I'm speaking about when I just started seeing, you know, it would be, I remember, shout out to Young OG, who was one of the first cats, probably one of the first five out there. And he's from the neighborhood. And I remember just kind of speaking with him, like, we were just like, what is this turning into? You know what I'm saying? Like, are we all still riding for X, Y, and Z? Or now is it some people want to get on TV, some people trying to get... You know, like, usually, you know, I don't give a fuck. I say whatever on this show. Yeah. But it's one thing I'm not going to say on this show about a particular person who, when I went to the... little PBS joint they had at UMSL. Mm-hmm. I saw a couple people, actually, that got some big names in this whole
We can talk
movement.
About that. At
yeah,
the
but no,
break.
I just want to say, I ain't going to say who said this, but I'm seeing people who about this struggling, you know, fuck 12 and, you know what I'm saying, all of this other stuff. Well, you know, I would like to get a job in, you know, journalism and this, this, and that. And I'm sitting up here like, yo. And it was attached to that Black Lives Matter. And I was just like, yo. Like, I didn't know, should I be mad? Should I not be mad? But what's going on? When did it stop being about Mike Brown? When did it stop being about these cops? And it started turning into all different type of agendas. But so shout out to people who I know are with that movement who are truly about Black Lives Mattering. At all given points,
and
man.
And not have any other agendas attached.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, to me, it started seeming like a lot of cats that was going out there with me, they stopped coming because they was like, man, this shit is turning into a circus. You know what I'm saying? And here's the biggest thing, to bring it home, with Hillary Clinton. You know, did I hear the whole interview? I didn't. I heard enough to hear this woman pretty much, it's just like, if you talking all this shit about you going to fight somebody, then you run up on a person to fight them, and they like, what's up then?
Yeah, that's how it seemed.
That's just, you know, and so that's a major problem. And I think it's a lot of people, how he talked about it, like the low percentages of protesters and all of this stuff. I'm just speaking as a Black man, a Black father, somebody who's gotten to it with police several times, somebody that got locked up for being Black in town and country, somebody that had a cop pull a gun on him, got into a scuffle with police. And I'm a cool dude. I ain't no gangster. But I'm speaking as this man saying, there are a bunch of us who are actually ready to do something, ready to put money together to make something happen. You know, initially it was ready to make some other shit happen, which may not have been the most positive thing, but that's just where people were. And so now it's coming to the, it's getting to the point that a majority of people just want things to move forward. Not, I don't want to be here next year.
Right. That's real.
Crying about the same shit. Because then, you know what I'm saying? We shouldn't even be here crying about it now. 100%. More stuff has happened. And more protests have happened. We still having the same, you know. Same but now, go ahead, man.
Brim, you got any thoughts?
I just think, you know, with all the hashtags, all the black, you know, Black Lives Matter and all that. I mean, even with our people, there's so many agendas that always gonna kill it with our people, you know. Until it's just like one agenda, at least one major one, it's nothing gonna change. And people, you know, people follow who they want to follow and all that. Then you get to look at the people that the people following too, you know. Like you guys talking about the mega churches, like you shouldn't look at them anyway.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. They not in business
for that.
You know what I'm saying. So, you kind of just X them out. But it's all the agendas and all that. It's just killing the game. It's make everything foggy. I'm like, what the hell's going on?
It's confusing to me. Like I said, I'm in a state of I don't know what the fuck to kind of really think and believe. Right. So I'm still trying to construct how I actually feel about everything that's fucking happening. Because I feel like that even like, you know, going out there and, you know, for the Mike Brown anniversary and all that, you know, it's like I went out there, you know what I'm saying, for a minute, but it was just like, I didn't feel right because I felt like I wouldn't like, I only get come out there a couple of times before though, so like, what's the point of me being out here now as much, you know, trying to like, I act like I'm riding, and I was only out there a couple of times when everything went down. Right. These people that's been out there every day, those are motherfuckers that need to be getting represented for and things like that. And I really hated like the celebrity aspect of it, which is cool, and I get that, you know what I'm saying? Right. That helps out a movement get some exposure or whatnot, but I don't know, I just had a ill feeling about how people taking pictures in front of the Quick Trip at one point, like it was a fucking tourist attraction or in the fucking Ferguson Mart. You know what I'm saying?
If you go to my and forgive me for my shameless plug, but if you go to my Instagram, Rashadism, RHASHADISM, you can scroll through and the picture that I or the video I did in front of Quick Trip was pretty much just saying like, yo, y'all need to get out here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Building still smoking, come get with your people. You know what I'm saying? It's force in numbers. And that's what that thing was. And it did turn into, you know, shout out to my homegirl, Danny Brown. We was laughing because we was giving out free water to, you know, the protesters and stuff. You know, and this is when it first happened. Yeah. And it was a nigga. And I just got, this is a nigga, okay, who tried to climb on top of the Quick Trip to take a CD cover picture. That is my shut word. The fuck up. I promise you. And what? Me and her, okay, that's why my girl Danny, we all we got. That's why we say that.
What's the name of this album, Teddy? This album that he's taking a picture for. What is the name of the album?
Yeah, what's
I'm trying to figure out what's the name of that album.
What would the title be?
Let It Burn.
I can't even think of a title that would be. On top.
Shit. On top of Quick Shit, man.
We smoking.
He almost sliced his damn self because you know that burning metal and all of that shit.
He could have fell through the fucking roof.
It was a bunch of us like, nigga, what are you doing?
So, and so he had his homeboy out there taking a picture?
The homeboys. And they sitting up there, so he couldn't get on the roof, so they just stood in front of it, you know, just with his back to the, you know what I'm saying, to the people, throwing up a blood sign or whatever. Shout out to my Pyrus, I'm pretty sure
burning
y'all wouldn't let that, you
burning
know.
Burning in the struggle?
Shout out to the Crips, too.
Burning
but anyway,
in the struggle.
Burning in the struggle. So what is this thing turned into? I heard Chuck D say attention is the new currency.
That's real. Damn. Hey, no. Damn. Real talk?
Damn.
Somebody, oh, God, where were we? I feel like we were riding in the car doing some community events. And I don't know if we had a teacher with us. I forgot what she did, but I remember she was saying, she said that, now, mind you, I feel like she was teaching college. So this might be some, you know, 18 to 21. But she said that her students straight up told her, like, if they put a picture up on Facebook, if it doesn't get a certain amount of likes,
they'll take it down.
By a certain amount of time, they take it down. You know what I mean? So clearly, it's like, that is the realest quote ever. Like, we have gotten to the point where it's really just about likes. Like, it's really all about, like, self-promotion and publicity. You know what I mean? Like, that fucking song I sent you, that shoot nigga shoot shit.
Dude,
is...
I can't, you know they took that down. I was trying to have it on Raw.
Yeah, he
hollered
at me about that. Yeah.
Nobody could find it. Do y'all remember the name of that motherfucker?
It was called Hands Up.
I looked that up on. I'm sorry. I was trying to get the artist.
I couldn't make it through 30 seconds.
It was either that or Don't Shoot. Whatever.
I thought it was Hands Up. Don't Shoot.
But you know what though? While we getting mad at them and that whack shit because it was whack.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. To me, at a certain point. That was a great representation of what the fuck that shit was turning into.
No, I'm going to tell y'all really what I felt like when I saw that. The first thing that popped in my head, I said, nigga, Boondocks is fucking Nostradamus.
Woo, you got, oh my goodness. This dude was on it.
He was on it 5, 7 years ago. He was...
Even with the T-skirts.
With the T-skirts. Or whatever they were. Completely predicting what the fuck is happening. Gay rapper, Gangstalicious, tell me that's not Young Thug.
Tell me that ain't a gang of rappers. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's here. I don't know what crystal ball he was looking into, but that shit is up close and personal. I saw that shit, I was like, dog, it was so bad. Like, there was nothing, like, you said to yourself, this can't be real.
Yeah. So I thought it was like a joke at first.
I did too. Until I saw the
girl thought they was gonna be doing they cooning, and I thought it was like, nah, this is the real record. Right. And it's gonna be on some good stuff.
No, I saw the girl twerking. I was like, they for real.
I was like, yeah.
But shout out to and I hate I cannot remember everybody's name, but I know T-Dub-O.
Yeah,
a local,
artist
who, you know, they did something real dope.
Yeah, no,
you know
we won't have it on Raw. No.
Oh, cool, because that shit was dope, man. And I salute them, and them brothers was out there. And they was about some serious stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, but all that, like,
don't
twerking.
Shoot. I was like,
Cass was doing donuts. I just remember it. And then, like, just if you want to keep it, before we get to Raw, look, this is real Raw shit. We standing outside, and this nigga's handling beefs that they got. Dude, people was running through the crowd. I'm not making this up. It's a million and one stories out there shooting at each other,
yo. The first shit started on West Florissant, and before he started shooting at the cops, it was some beef that was getting, man.
This is I'm being dead honest with you. It was just like a million and one story.
But I said, man, somebody like, so if a Cortez is out there, I can't shoot him? Like, I got beef with him. He's killed my third cousin.
Because that's what I'm saying. Everybody... That's out there, like that. That was the thing initially. Everybody, and just real quick, because I know we got to move on. Being from St. Louis, you know, it ain't never been a time that all of us really got together and just it was like a city love for one another. Right. You had your pockets of people who mess with each other. The one of the most beautiful things that happened, what it was, people coming from the west, from the north, from the south, from the east side. You know what I'm saying?
All together,
all right. Kind of brothers yeah. and sisters, and was just everybody was just together in the beginning. You know what I'm saying? Like, am I giving? I mean, the cops shouldn't have had been militarized, military. You know what word I'm
yeah.
trying to say?
Yeah.
Military gear, basically. Yeah. But I could see them being scared as shit. Initially, now I'm not giving them a pass.
But you can see how they were like, fuck, we got to do something.
Because it was like, it was real. It was real. And I mean real, real. And I honestly never would have thought that things would be looking like they look now versus that energy that was out there initially. But I'm telling you, man, like, and with the Black Lives Matter, before all that stuff started, you had Black Lives who was together and we all mattered to each other. And it really was fuck 12, or however else you want to express that.
Yeah.
And then it turned into, girl, you know, it's going to be some niggas out there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just being real. Hey, yo, they can hate me, but I was there, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Since we're talking about cops, let's go into this straight out of Compton review. All right. Teddy, what were your initial thoughts on the movie?
I mean, F. Gary Gray is the man, dog. Like, you know, it's the cinematography to... Mm-hmm. To, you know, capturing. He did a good job of keeping it, well, I won't say split, but giving each one enough time to tell enough of their story for it to make sense. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't, I mean, I've heard that it's been an ode to
Eazy-E
yeah. Moore, which, you know,
you can tell
it's kind of, I mean, and that's cool, but I don't think, I mean, outside of the little Dre pieces, most of that
Dre stuff, was the Dre stuff was the if anything was a downfall of that movie, it was the Dre
right, right.
shit.
Yeah, I mean, Dre was a little skewed, but as to be
a little
okay, it was skewed, but given the fact that he was putting up the money, you kind of expected.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, yeah. you know, the feeling that you had, you know, when the songs actually came out and setting it against the backdrop of the Rodney King verdict and the rest of Denny and the riots yeah. and all the rest of that stuff, it worked well. It made sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was reading Ava DuVernay's, you know, salute to F. Gary Gray, talking about how it really brought her back. Like, when she was out there when all the riots was breaking out, and, you know, she said, like, all of Compton went wild when CNN covered that shot of the truce between... The Bloods and the Crips.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, he captured it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, is F. Gary Gray from
yeah, well, he's
Cali?
From, yeah, he's from L.A., but he went, like, high school in Chicago. It was, like, somewhere.
Right, right, right. Yeah. So it just goes to show you, like, you know, you could tell there was pride in making the film. Like,
right.
He made sure that there were certain aspects that were covered.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, shit. Rotten Tomatoes and that, nigga, that's a 99%.
Is that 99% right now?
No, I'm talking about for me.
For me, you, okay.
Yeah, yeah, from the Teddy meter. That's, yeah. I'm going to get it at 99%.
All right, Rashad?
very dynamic story. You know, I let me get the.
This all just the good stuff. This is before we get.
Okay,
to,
yeah, so
this is the your general thoughts right now.
Okay, the general because yeah. I was just
we
about to go.
Yeah, I got my questions over here. Yeah, yeah. Go
okay, ahead. Well, no, I was just gonna say just overall as a story, that was meant to be linear. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because we know the NWA story and who branched off a lot, you know, off of them and all of that could just we'd be all over the place. But for it to be a linear story, beginning, climax, and ending. Great story, great casting with the exception of Snoop Dogg.
Yes. I'm like, who is this name?
But his voice was on point, though. Great casting. It was just a great storyline. I just want to throw this in there before yeah. I forget, because I know you're going to go into your questions. Yeah. You know, Gary Gray actually said that the original movie was like 3.5 hours.
Yeah, they had to cut out a lot.
They had to cut it, but I think one of the most gangster moves that they're about to make, no pun intended, is to put out a director's cut, you know, once it comes out. So you're going to have everybody, you know what I'm saying, who saw the film,
and then
we got to get it because we want to see that DVD. Extra hour, you know what I mean? So it was a great, great film, great soundtrack too, by the way.
Yeah.
So.
All right, Rem, your thoughts.
Yeah, I think Gary did a good job. It was dope. I think the dopest thing about it was it kind of connected old school Compton, what we saw coming up, versus like the young guys, they can understand it. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times they get lost, but like, that's not real. I'm like, no, that's how it was.
Yeah.
But
Oh,
no, that was
no, that
was
used to come on the news.
Yeah.
I know, that's what I'm saying. But the new generation,
they don't
believe. Right.
First thing they seen is this Michael Brown shit. Right. Yeah. So I think it connected well with the young. You know what I'm saying? I think that was the best part about it.
And can I tell excuse me?
Go ahead.
Just say something, Ted, where you were just talking about how the kids didn't think it was real. One of the things that I wanted to say about Ferguson, for people, you know, who are not from St. Louis or whatever.
Yeah, internationalists, you know.
Hey, shout out to the world. Yo, initially when this stuff happened, and Rim could true this, a lot of people in St. Louis was like, yo, some more St. Louis shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Some more, you know, wicked cops doing X, Y, and Z. So initially, people didn't even think it would go as far as it went. You know what I'm saying? I just wanted to make that comment because we was used to going through some bullshit. You know what I mean? But anyway, go ahead.
I think it was just a good connection for the, because my wife, you know, we listen to rap like that, you know what I'm saying? Even then, she loved it. You know what I'm saying? So I think it was a dope movie. The way, like I said, I think the Snoop Dogg, could have did better with his role. But they all did good. For the actors, they did a great job.
O'Shea Jr., boy.
But when you think about Snoop Dogg, he kind of did look like that.
But you know what I didn't like about him?
Because he didn't have braids back then either.
He had a box.
He had a box.
Yeah. He was like, you know, he was... Skinny and shit.
What was whack about him was, you know, when he first came out, he was young. And he was kind of like real shy, reserved.
Right.
Like, there's no way he would have came up into a blood set. You know, like,
saying cuz more
you
than once.
Like, nah. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He was more like reserved when he first started. So his personality was a little off.
But you know, they had to play it up for the movie. You know what I'm saying?
I'm like.
Just like Dre. You know what I mean?
Dude, let's get into that, dude.
All right. I mean, my thoughts was it was dope. F. Gary Gray did his fucking thing.
Cinematography
was stupid. And actually pulled you into the characters, a lot of like how they are, what they are, and you actually sympathize with a lot of the characters in there. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the greatest part of the movie. I would say the weakness, I would say, which we're going to get into, is the Dre shit. I think that's the failing point of that movie is the Dre shit. Like, you could tell that Dre, because, I mean, for one of my homeboys worked on some of the score stuff on the back screen, so he told me some shit. He's basically saying, Ice Cube didn't want that shit. Ice Cube wanted to show almost everything. Right. Dre's the one that pushed back on that shit.
The beef he had with Easy they never played the song. But
he even said in the interview, Gary was just saying that he had all this like interview footage with Dre and stuff like that he probably could never release. But it was alluding to that, you know, the fact that Dre was dumbing down a lot of stuff or whatever.
Yeah,
and some people were just like, "Well, was he doing it for the movie's sake, or was he just doing it?" You know what I'm saying?
I think it's for himself,
look,
man.
Look a certain way.
Man, dude, Dre looked like super nigga in
there.
He was
a G. Yeah. I'm like,
super nigga, and he was super nigga that had Jesus qualities.
Yeah.
if y'all go with me on this way. Okay. Let me
I agree.
No, for real. Yeah, he did. Because he was hard, but then he was compassionate. And he had like all this what'd it be like where you, I can't even think of the word I'm trying to go with, but he had all this kind of gumption of knowing right from wrong and all this morality and understanding morality.
Yeah, like
but he was,
moral compass.
But he'll slap the shit out of a nigga anytime that need be at the same time.
Right.
You know, like, we can get into that. That's one of my first questions, though, with the Dr. Dre thing. I think that was a filling point of the movie. I think they should have showed the D Barnes shit. 100% think they should have showed that. And I think they should have showed the Michelet shit.
But you know what? Let me jump in. No, because I was going to say,
I think
let's
they
wait
have.
For the director's cut.
Yeah,
because
now that's what I'm saying. No, if I'm going to say the director's going to have that, then I know Dre all up in the motherfucking kitchen.
Because here's the thing, because if you watch certain commercials, they have scenes that are not in a movie.
Oh, yeah, I know they don't.
And one of the scenes is when he was talking to, I guess, the woman who's his wife now, but he was in jail. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they sure do. You're
so
right.
So I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what was up with that.
Because
I guess
it was the jail scene. So in the scene after he was driving his car speeding.
Right.
Maybe that's what it was.
Maybe that's the scene after that he was in jail. But my thing is, though, there's a whole part where Dre was on fucking house arrest for fucking damn near a year.
Yeah. Right. And they really didn't have that in there.
Like he was on, literally on house arrest for a year. That's how he got the Chronic done. That's why
that's
he
on
was
his documentary.
Yeah, but that's why he got all the shit. That's why he had to do beats for the Chronic at the crib because he was on fucking house arrest.
Yep.
But they could have fucking threw that in there.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. I don't think they're gonna do that because the thing is, the story was about them as a team and not necessarily.
And I gotta get that, but I'm saying
I think that's why you're not gonna get what you're looking for, because if you actually take a bird's eye views or an aerial snapshot of it as a whole, you'll see that they didn't really degrade
any of the
NWA. Yeah. It
was more pumping up everybody.
It was more so Jerry Heller. Suge, everybody outside.
But I would say they did do one member like that.
Who?
Ren?
MC Ren. And the reason I say I felt that he was degraded a little bit is because he did play a bigger part in NWA than what he was always like the side nigga.
No,
you know what I mean?
Which is true, but the thing is, I don't think. But if you're not like a Stone Cold fan, you're not going to know that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But and they didn't really show that in the movie. Like, it didn't really go into the personal defects of each member of the, like, one could have been an alcoholic, the other one could have been, like, Dre's beating other women, you know what I'm saying? If somebody had a gambling issue or, like, you never saw any of that.
They did show it a little bit, like, for Eazy-E when Jerry Heller was talking to him about fucking all the time and don't have 4,000 kids. It was sprinkles of it, but they didn't go into it in detail.
They had to do that. And they only had to do that for one reason.
Because you guys have AIDS at the end.
But then it did. But then it also showed, to me, even with Ice Cube, which, it was showing him just being a smarter person, not to deal with those contracts or whatever, or his contract. It also kind of, on the flip, made him look like an egomaniac a little bit, too.
Well,
so it was little shots that I saw.
Right, but even if it did that, it wasn't like anything aggressive.
No, it wasn't aggressive at all.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, so, but to go into Dre's, that would be aggressive. You know what I'm saying? Like, to go into this man's, personal turmoils, and not being able to, because if they did that, it would overshadow the rest of the movie.
I mean, to me, honestly, and I've always thought about this, it makes Dre look like a lucky motherfucker. Honestly, and I've always said he's been a lucky motherfucker because he's just fell into shit. Like, he makes fucked up decisions and falls into some other shit. Because the whole thing with the Eazy thing, he was the main one going at Cuba, which is, they say, is all true about. Because you got to remember when he was the first one to diss Ice Cube was Dre.
That's
on 100 miles running, he says we had to drop that Ben Dick Arnold. One couldn't make it. We'd have five. Now we got four.
Right.
But it made it look like he was the one that was sympathetic towards Cube the most, and he's the first one that dissed him. He's the first one that dissed him. Because
if you watch the documentary, you go on my, I could tag you to the documentary
that, and
on
that's
my
why
page.
The D-Barn thing is very critical in this aspect, is because that he was so mad about Ice Cube. Do y'all know why he got that? Why he beat up D-Barnes?
Because she go ahead. No, D-Barnes, I know you know it.
Okay, so supposedly Ice Cube, when they left, and then they would first start beefing, they had him on this show. It was a LA show, like a little kind of like a music box type of show. And he's like, "Hey, I'm Ice Cube, blah blah blah." And he was like, "I had to drop them other niggas." Basically, he was kind of like dissing them in the way they edited it. But then they went right into their music video, the NWA music video, like right after that. So Dre, and my whole point is that Dre and Cube wasn't as fucking cool as they fucking try to act like. The fact that was a lot of tension between them two.
Right.
Because when you're watching the movie, it looked like Dre was like, "Oh yeah, he was just cool with all the disses and shit, riding in his car hearing no Vaseline." Like, "Oh yeah, that was dope. Like, I still fuck with Cube." They wasn't fucking with each other like that.
But I mean, they're gonna take literary license. I mean,
I know, but that's a very big literary license, though.
I don't disagree with that. I mean, fucking Out of Egypt is all white people.
Yeah,
that's
but that's extreme.
So it is. Yeah. But I'm just saying it happens because the thing is, like, again, he's an executive producer. He's putting up with half the money. It's going to be expected. But I do feel like those things, like, because even when they started telling, Eazy-E's joint, like, I'm sure they could have went into a ton of other shit.
And it could be five movies, for real.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. But the age part didn't even happen until towards the end.
Right.
Because that could overshadow the rest of the story, I'm saying? Because to me, it was just more about them getting to where they are now versus like their actual connection to each other. You know what I'm saying? I understand they tried to make it sound like it was Voltron. We all know that it wasn't like Voltron with the movies. But
because it could have been a dope, a small, maybe 5 to 10 minute story arc could have been Dre and Cube having that small little bit, and then them actually remedying their relationship and doing that Natural Born Killers song. Because that was when they got back together, is that Natural Born Killers for the Murder Was a Case soundtrack in 94. So you could have had that bridge and arc and seen like, it made Dre look like he was just cool with everything. And they could have had, they had an opportunity then, though to show an arc true. For Dre's
but
character.
But that doesn't mean that's not going to be in the director's cut. Because the thing is, essentially, you just want to do stuff that's going to make the story go forward. Like, if the Natural Born Killers is really not going
to,
it's not
and
that
they
big
didn't one. Have to show them doing it, but I'm just saying it could have been a good story arc to show them mending themselves and then them having to mend
it. That's
a
good point that he's making, because listening to D speak, it actually did point out like a big plug in the story. Which is, you know, just all of a sudden, you know what I'm saying? Like, Ice Cube really ain't tripping off of Dre, but he's telling Easy, well, you got to get right with Dre, and then I'll do this NWA, I was about to say NBA, NWA reunion, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But so one of the biggest things for me was, well, I kind of want to see how Dre and Cube got back cool to the point that he co-signed Dre.
Because they already did in the time capsule of if you moving out stuff, they did Natural Born Killers in the in a media period in between there.
So one of the things, so that shows to me,
and they supposed to have the album together, Helter Skelter. I don't know if people remember
So I give the film, I gave the film 9 out of 10 because of those little inconsistencies. Yep. You know what I'm saying?
The rare thing, I was tripping off of that a little bit just for a historical. You know what I'm saying? It's like that, like. People don't even know that he wrote a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, the
whole thing. So, like, let's speak about, you know, Gary's perspective. You know what I'm saying? For the film or of the film, however you want to say it, was it a nostalgic film? Like, what was the primary reason, or was it just a film for everybody, or to introduce to you? Because
I thought it was a nostalgic film.
I was more so nostalgic too, because it's things that we are left to assume.
Right, right.
Whereas people who don't know who NWA is and might be like, "Wait a minute."
But I think you understand. But I think if you don't know anything about NWA, you probably enjoy this movie 100 times more.
That's true.
If you don't know anything about NWA, because the thing about it like this, if you watch the James Brown movie, you don't know shit about James Brown. Like, my mom didn't like the James Brown movie at all because she knew about what was going on with James Brown. Yeah. But for me, it was like, it was cool. Like, I thought it was straight. But she was like, no, that shit was whack because all these different things weren't in there.
I'll be honest, I think if I didn't know about NWA, I would think that the film was cool. I wouldn't be giving it rave reviews. You know what I'm saying? Just because... I'm just how my mind works when I see films. Like, I want everything to be tied together, and it was just certain little things that
But you wouldn't have known that their beef was even that bigger though.
But I would have felt that in there. One of the biggest holes would have been like, okay, Ice Cube, no Vaseline. Oh, this shit is dope. He went in on everybody. Now, why is it? I haven't seen any communication between these two people, and now he's saying, "Easy,
Dre." Put that in there. They did put that in there when they had Dre riding in his car with DOC bumping No Vaseline and made it feel like they were still cool in that moment. That's the discrepancy I'm talking about.
But see, I didn't get that feeling. I saw it twice. I saw it three times.
Yeah, but
and I ain't get
oh,
that
you
feeling
can't tell when they sitting there riding and they bumping No Vaseline?
But
that
I'm thinking,
means that I'm still cool
but,
with
but
somebody.
But this is the thing. To me, how I took it, I looked at it like Dre was studying. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't like if somebody made a diss record about...
I would say your part was... If he would have went in and they showed him dissing him himself, then that would have been true. I think they made it look like they were still cool in that moment to me.
Didn't they talk after that? Wasn't there a conversation? Didn't he say, I heard it?
They did not have a conversation again until that hospital, man. They did not interact with each other to the hospital.
That's what I'm saying.
But that's what made me think that you had to assume they were still cool.
So he didn't say
maybe not they were still cool, but Dre was cool with him dissing them.
So that's what I'm saying. But he didn't say the track was dope. He didn't say that No Vaseline.
He's sitting there bobbing his head riding to it.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. He didn't
say that. Only one said it was dope was DJ Yella.
Yella was the only one.
And, I mean, Yella, not Rinda.
Somebody else said it was dope, too.
Rinda said it was tight, but he was mad.
I thought Dre said it. Like,
it wasn't Dre, though.
No, it wasn't Dre.
When they spoke, the only time I remember them speaking on Cube, shit being dope is when he first put out like the first
America's
album.
Most Wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were just, you know, and Easy was saying like, I saw Dre bumping his head to that because he was going to the party.
Yeah.
And then Easy was like, yo, this dude like top 20 right now. And when No Maybe Vaseline.
That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause when there's No Vaseline.
But that
dropped,
makes it, but that's even more proving my point that they acting like Dre was just cool. He just bumping Ice Cube shit all over the place. And it wasn't like that. He was the first one to diss him.
Yeah, I mean,
Easy got a whole song dissing Cube on that 100 Miles Run Them, but if you talking about the song that came out as a single, Dre's got the first verse, first one going in on him.
Right, but that wasn't in the movie though.
But I'm saying if they just needed that one moment where Dre could have been like, well, fuck it, I gotta go in on him.
Well, even though we disagree as far as like the ride, I would say now I agree with Daryl because they should have put that in a movie. About Dre dissing him first, but that would have put a tink in that armor of the mightier than thou Dre.
But then it goes back to my original point that's the weakest character in the movie was the Dre part. Even though the dude that played it did a fucking phenomenal job.
Oh, he did
job.
A phenomenal job.
He was a Juilliard.
What did you see? There you go. Because he even sounded like fucking Dre. Have you ever heard his real voice? His real voice don't sound shit like that.
Yeah. Right. His disposition, I mean, everything. Yeah.
And they like the Dre. This Dre thing. Dre act like he talked to Suge like that.
I don't believe that conversation happened.
And he coming out here just talking shit to people. He knocking out niggas in the middle
out.
Of death row.
I'm out. You can have that money. I'm out.
No, like I was telling Teddy, that motherfucker sent a fax over. Like, yo, I'm leaving death row.
It's no.
You know what? When I heard about it, that's what I heard happen.
Yeah, that's what I heard happen.
It was never a face to face conversation.
No way. That wouldn't. I mean, even if he wasn't scared of that, this wouldn't make sense. I'm just gonna walk up. I'm out. Nah.
You need it for a climatic ending.
Y'all believe that Dr. Dre was running out just stealing on niggas and Dre and
Suge Knight.
And another point with Suge Knight, I wish they would have showed. I know you get so much you could have shown is when they started Death Row. Y'all know how they got the money to start Death Row.
From what's the
Vanilla
name?
Vanilla Ice. They stole his publishing.
Yeah.
Now that'd have been a dope part to put in there because that would have showed the viciousness of Suge.
Of Suge, yeah.
Vanilla Ice people probably sent some shit like, yo, don't put that in a movie.
But he can't. Shit, they own the publishing for Ice Ice Baby, half of it. They leaned that motherfucker out the window like fucking in the Five Heartbeat.
Yeah, they did.
And made him sign half his publishing off for Ice Ice Baby. That's how they got the money to start fucking Death Row.
And
that's a knock at Dre too.
Because he was down with this whole situation.
And what's the name? Eazy-E actually did sign the contract.
But it was
Mickey Mouse. No, he was signing Mickey Mouse on the contract, and that's how he got his ass whooped by Suge and all of them.
Oh, it's more in the real He ended up getting. They never showed the way they alluded to a small point that he was making money off of Dre all that time.
He was. He still. I think they still made like 20% to 30%.
Yeah, he made $2 million. They said in the article I read $2 million exactly off of Dre stuff, and that's $2 million in '94.
Yeah.
So think about that was some good dough that was coming out of them.
And then the whole thing about, I guess, like, now I don't know if how true this was or not, but Eazy-E having to downsize his home and all of this other
stuff.
They said
it wasn't true.
But he was still clocking. He was clocking more money than them.
Yeah, but the thing
he said he's bringing in $10 million a month.
Yeah. I mean, I do believe he may have to have downsized, though, because if you look at, not downsized necessarily like
to
his
an
home,
apartment.
But Rand and all of them wasn't living there no more.
Right, but I'm saying I think it had to be some downsizing in his lifestyle maybe, and that's the best way for them to put that in a movie.
Yeah.
Because you got to think about it. He lost Dre. He lost DOC. He lost Above the Law had left at that point. Michelle had left. Cocaine had left. So you got all these different artists that he had that were rocking had left him.
Right.
And Bone is the thing that saved Ruthless Records.
And them Dre checks.
Find it wrong. Yeah, and the Dre checks kept it afloat, but Bone got Ruthless moving back on up. And then it goes to my next topic, which is we can segue into it. I don't know about the Easy thing. I think Easy might have been injected with AIDS, but then a part of me thinks the Easy maybe know he had AIDS, just didn't tell nobody. I flip flop with that in my mind because I'm like, I can see how a hood nigga be like, I ain't telling nobody I got AIDS because I'm ashamed of it for whatever reason.
I don't think he knew he had AIDS, but I think he knew he was sick.
And just didn't want to go to the doctor about it?
No, I don't think he did. He knew he was sick. Especially in that time, niggas didn't really know about AIDS that.
Yeah, because Magic Johnson was 91. Yeah. He didn't get diagnosed with, 95?
Yeah.
So you're talking about
I think he knew he was sick, you know. Because he probably had it years ago, probably even before they even formed NWA, he probably had it.
The only thing that kind of shocked me with all of that is just the conversation that Lazy Bone had on the
Crazy talks about Crazy Bone talks about it too.
Crazy?
No,
it's crazy.
Lazy was on that. But I'm saying they got interviews with Crazy and like Wish. different ones of them, the whole campus said the same
and
shit.
And just me paying attention to, like, what they were saying, because they were saying that Easy, this is how they time stamped it. They said Easy went to D.C.
No, New York.
Was it New York?
Yeah, New York. Because
it wasn't when he went to the White House.
No, no. Well, he went to D.C. for the White House thing, so that's a part of they think that he might have been, because, you know, he donated that money to the Bush campaign.
Right.
And they ended up giving him a ticket to the to some dinner.
And then it did say when he got back from New York, it was just like, he had a cough, and then he was dead a week later.
Yeah, but Ice Cube talks about it because he said he told Easy, like, dude, why you ain't got no fucking jacket on? It's cold as fuck outside. He said it was the coldest day he ever experienced in his life was that night in New York. Wow. Easy only had, like, he said, that's a Carhartt on. And he's like, dude, what the fuck you doing? And he said Easy walked home. So when he heard he was sick, he thought it was from him being out in the cold and everything. Because the last time he saw him, he only had a Carhartt. Like, shirt on and, like, one of them Carhartt jacket shirts or whatever that ain't heavy. And he says, like, negative degrees out there. And he's Easy was looking. They was both looking for a cab. They couldn't get one. He's like, fuck it, I'm going to walk back to the hotel. And he says, last time he saw Easy alive. And you got to think. I think it'd be maybe Jerry Heller or something to do. And I even think Tamika may have something to do. But then a part of me thinks back that he might have known he had it for a long time.
But I always think it, and I definitely want to know what you think, Ted, about this, about when Suge got on a talk show.
Jimmy Kimmel.
And made that joke.
He said, inject, you know, the Eazy-E thing.
And that's why I was just like, you know, okay, Suge, I get you trying to be funny, but that was like the most bizarre joke.
He want that attention.
He did. I mean, it was right after he got out of jail. I mean, what's funny is, I don't know if it started before Eazy or after Eazy, but I remember people talking about that shit when I was in grade school.
About
injecting niggas, period.
Well, I mean, you got to talk about Arthur Ashe. Arthur Ashe had a blood transfusion, you know what I'm saying?
I'm talking about, like, niggas giving out,
you talking about, like they were talking about kids with toys and stuff, like, they would put them in candies and have
not
to
even
prick your hand and maybe give you AIDS, like
fucking,
that.
The movie theater seats.
Right, and people were putting them in the seats, and you sit down.
So you sit down and get injected. I remember that's like 6th, 7th grade for me. So, like, I don't feel like that just came out of nowhere. You know what I'm saying? So there has to be some source for that. You know what I mean? So, and to hear people talk about, like, a week later he was dead.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't see the full-blown AIDS that fast,
man. But that's my point. Like, for it to roll that, you know, I understand there's a deteriorating state, and they talk about, you know, in the article they're talking about, like, clinical latency and all the rest of that stuff. I get that. But Easy is on the same echelon.
I
want to
see another case like Easy where somebody had full-blown AIDS like that fast.
That's what I'm saying. Like, but Easy's on the same financial echelon as
Magic
Johnson.
So he'd have money to fucking
That's what
cured.
I'm saying. Like, you know, they're both in L.A. Like, it's not that hard to figure out, like, oh, let me call Magic, see what the fuck he doing. Because, you know, we both got the same shit.
I'm sure that call was made. I'm 100% right that call. Hey, man, it's Easy. check it out, man. I know you heard.
Right, exactly.
What are you doing? Can you come over and talk to my doctor? Tell me who your doctors
send me
are.
Some notes or something. What are you eating? What I'm saying. So, like, to me, it's just mad ironic that so many people feel like it happened all in the snapshot. That, and then for sure to come out there and make that joke. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I run with conspiracy theories sometimes. It makes sense, but for me, I don't know. If it happened as quickly as they showed in the movie, like, that nigga checked in and then that was it.
It was a month.
That shit is crazy. That shit is crazy to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, that nigga, they literally checked him in. He said, nigga, your T-cell count is 14.
14. What the fuck?
That is
he
crazy.
He checked in at 14.
Right.
So
14? And they said the scene that him passing out in the studio, that's not what happened. Like, with everybody. Tamika wasn't around. None of that shit happened.
All right, but that's what I'm saying. So, like,
they said he was with those twin bodyguard dudes somewhere. And then they just, like, he didn't pass out. They was like, dude, you got to go to the hospital. So they took him to the hospital.
Right.
So I guess to what I'm trying to figure out is, like, it can lean to Rim and be like, you know, he's had it for a while. But, nigga, if your shit is supposed to be around 300 to 500, the moment your shit hits 150, you struggling.
Right. Yeah.
And they said this nigga never got sick and all the rest of stuff and all of a
they
sudden.
They said he suffered from bronchitis as a kid, though.
Well, I understand
That's what Lazy Bone said in the interview. I mean, he said he had bronchitis since he was a kid.
And that might be true. But if you got bronchitis, you should have been in the hospital. Like, it's just hard for me to believe, like, the common cold would fuck you up if your shit
if
is 100.
You had a low T-cell count.
Less than 100? Yes.
So that's what I'm pointing. So, like, I don't understand, like, why, like, the moment he sneezed, he should have been...
Passed out.
Right, in the bed sweats at home, and we should have made it to the hospital. He should be checking in when his shit is 15. Fucking double digits. That's why I'm like, that don't sound right to me.
Yeah, it's real weird with that whole situation, man. Like, and if it's interesting, you look at the history of Ruthless after that. Basically, Bone went fucking with his wife. His wife was fucking over money, supposedly trying to fuck Lazy Bone, all kind of crazy shit like that.
Wow.
Or whatever. They talk about that on the Unsung. Lazy Bone talk about, like, yeah, they all talk about, like, yeah, Tamika's trying to fuck Lazy.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. I mean, then if you go online, you can see rumors of people talking about a day after Tamika was telling, like, the Bone kids they could have any of Easy's cars. And, like, because, you know, she married him on his deathbed. She married him the day before he died. So it's like, all that stuff that seems real, real...
Real suspect?
Very suspect.
Yeah, because his another guy that was like, a bigger, another 50% owner in Ruthless, he had to sue Tamika because she was saying, no, I own 100% of it.
Right, the Mike Wills or Mark Will dude?
Yeah, yeah, he had to end up suing her because he was like literally grinding, doing his thing. I was like, what the fuck you mean? Like, you own 100%. Right. Bitch, you crazy? I'm on... part of this shit too. I helped build this shit just with Jerry Heller and Easy.
Right.
And it's like, you know, and then the label got all fucked up. She didn't know what the fuck she was doing. And then supposedly, like, she, like, just, like, anything with Easy.
Because they made her seem like she was astute as a motherfucker in the
movie. Right. Oh, let me look at those contracts.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
And that's how you know she was involved with the movie. Because right. Exactly. She was, she's super, super, super accountant.
She's right.
She was the one who had to give the permission.
That's... Exactly, and they say, and I was reading this big long article in LA Times. Talking about, they said that was the reason, that was the linchpin in the whole movie was getting Tamika Wright involved, and that's why I think that part was added in there and making her very sympathetic towards the end of that movie.
So, and not only
that's
that,
she looked like Super Secretary.
Yep.
But not only that was you the know last they said because I think I read what you said.
Yep, that's the one I put up.
Yeah, it was like three different scripts.
Yep.
So they had to keep rewriting this script to pretty much just
to appease everybody. Yeah. Because they said Cube was the Cube and F. Gary Gray came up with. No, it was another two white dudes came up with the original script. Cube was like, fuck it, I like that, let's run with it.
Right.
And, you know, he added a couple more things in there that he knew what was happening. F. Gary Gray brought him on, and boom. Then Dre came in. Then Tamika came in. Shit started getting chopped off or whatnot. And they said Dre wasn't even involved on the day to day shit. He was barely there. Cube was there every day, they said.
Right.
No, but Dre not an actor, though. Dre not into the movie shit. You know, that's Cube's lane.
Yeah, I mean. Very, very true. But if it's a movie being made about me, motherfucker, I'm going
because he already wrote that check. Like, this is what you're going to say about me.
Exactly. He don't got to be there. He's like, you want this?
Here's a check. Here's some headphones. This is what you're going to say.
Here's beats for everyone on the staff.
Right. This is it.
But I mean, I'm saying if I wrote a check for, I'm not going to only show up two times out of a month shoot.
Yes, you did.
Okay, it's a month shoot. Okay, they making a movie about Teddy Simpson, and it's just in Chesterfield. You ain't going to go stop by there more than just twice.
Now, if I got other shit to do, and I'm like, yo, I just gave you $14 million to put this shit in.
No, I ain't getting no $14 million.
The
movie only cost $14 million.
All right, so if I gave you $7 million...
He didn't give that much either. They got money. Universal put up most of the money.
He's an executive producer. You don't just get executive producer rights
for all meal. You can give a meal.
Even if he gave a meal, he knows it. I bet you, guess what? If I sign on executive producer, that means I'm giving you money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm pulling my money... Mm-hmm. That shit's not going to get made.
Right.
So there's the leverage. Hey, guess what? In my clause, I'm right here. All this shit needs to happen right here. I'm going to be back on post-production. I'm going to make sure this shit is what we lined up to say.
I want to see the edits.
And I want to see all the edits. I want to make sure, you know, I got my man over here. Every time y'all make a motherfucking screen rewrite,
send it to him.
Fax that shit, I'm going to look at this shit on my iPhone and I okay that shit or I'll decline that shit. I ain't got to be there.
That's true.
If I'm giving
you
money,
good ass point.
If I'm giving money, I ain't got to be there. I definitely do not got to be there. If I giving you, if I'm funding you, you are not trying to fuck with the money.
You say I got money and clauses.
Yeah, money and clauses. Money in quotation marks, nigga. That's right. All I need.
But this is the thing, though, is that it's interesting because I heard someone say the other day, they were saying that all the old beefs in hip hop and in life, we want them to be fought on this new realm of social media. Like, we want to have our voices heard, like, voices need to be heard about old shit now. Like we want to fight battles like the Tupac versus Biggie battle. We want to recreate that and fight about that over again because we had this social networking aspect to have more interaction. Because before it would just be me and Rashad as homeboys in our career talking shit about it. Yeah. Now we want to redo it again because I got 20,000 friends on Facebook and I want to recreate that drama again. Not drama, but that debate to have it on a new platform. So that they're saying that's why the D Barnes all the thing people are getting more upset about it and all that. And that brings me to the idea of like people saying that they refuse to see the movie because you know someone wrote a whole article about the Bi Felicia thing. Did y'all see that?
Yeah.
About how it was sexist scene and all that. But my whole thing was like
rap is going back to what it was in the 80s and 90s.
But they wanted like a come happened. To Jesus moment for them be like, man, we be fucking these bitches over, man.
But that didn't happen.
I'm
making a song about fucking bitches, and then it's
misogynistic as fuck. So what the fuck you want from an NWA movie?
I mean, they did get married at the end. Most of them,
right?
I mean, because for the record, Niggas for Life may be the most vile album ever created. The first four songs is just about fucking hoes.
It was a rough one.
And then you, not the first, the last four, because then it goes, I'd rather fuck you's on there. She swallowed it.
Just don't bite it.
She swallowed it. And then,
keep in mind, this is 89?
Right.
Yeah.
A bitch is a bitch. And it's like the last four or five songs are all just about fucking. And I'm like, even as a kid, I was like, damn, they need Cube back. Shit, man.
Dude, I was just about to say that, which really showed that Cube left.
This is going a little bit too far on this back end of this album and everything. Right. I mean, I'm only 9 years older, but I know this is kind of fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we doing here, fellas?
Right.
You know, but production-wise, that motherfucker, you could tell Dre was starting to come in his own. His production was better on Niggas for Life, even though the lyrics may not have been better. But that production on Niggas for Life is the shit. You can't tell me always into something don't bang.
Damn right.
You know what I'm saying? You got the Jamaican. That was one of the first songs would have like Jamaican kind of.
I miss those days with the Jamaicans popping up on the track, man.
Yeah,
she's quick to look at me, dick. Yeah, that one right there.
So, I mean, what do y'all think could have been missing from this movie that would have helped it out better? Like, what do you think would have made a better movie in your eyes?
Man, I don't. It's hard because the thing is like I think people get, like Rashad said, that people get movies and documentaries confused. You know what I'm saying? So, like, all the stuff that we're bringing up about Dre and all the rest of that stuff would probably show up in a documentary before it would show up in a movie. Because, like, movies have an end goal. Like, they have an image. It's just like everything else. They're, like, they're celebrities and they have an image to portray. So, unless this is, like, a real-to-life documentary, you're not gonna get, you know, the real life stories of people who are going to play it because they're trying to leave all the celebrities that are in there on a positive note. You know what I mean? Especially because, I'm like I said, they could have shown Eazy-E being fucking ridiculous. You know what I mean? And that man is dead. So, you know, you're over here tarnishing a dead man's image. Like, it's like, damn, nigga. Like, you know.
But it was true, though, but the part where Eazy came out with the guns and shit, that nigga was really though.
Oh, he was G.
But that was a part. But see, I'm saying you could do small parts like that where you see like, oh yeah, he was about them guns and having them shits. That motherfucker had guns all the time. Like, and this motherfucker, because Teddy was like, dang, them niggas don't come back. That we saw, and he's like, I was like, no, they not. That nigga got a beam on that motherfucker. You won't come back.
Right.
This is the 80s. Then ain't nobody got no beams on rifles in the 80s. Especially some niggas in the 80s, this dude had a beam on her.
Which goes to show a scene they didn't have in a movie, because remember he was talking about when they were getting on the tour bus
and he had the gun. So you're saying the director, maybe we need to see this director's cut, man. I would like to definitely see that director's cut and see what they do with it.
So yeah, I can't really answer that question about what, because I don't know what will be still shown, you know what I'm saying? But I agree with, like, I will say this, for it to just be a linear film, it's a straight beginning, middle, end, it did its thing, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It did its damn thing. It's just the small intricacies here and there with it that kind of fucked it up for me. But that motherfucker was a solid movie, man.
It was.
Like, 9 out of 10.
Yeah, that motherfucking movie was good, man. It's my favorite movie so far this year, man. Like, hands down. I can't. Yeah.
The second one that came close to it was Dope.
Dope,
to
me. Yeah, I know. Yeah, Dope is definitely
I haven't seen it yet.
So. You got to see that Dope. Oh, yeah, though, man. Yeah, you'll love Dope, man. It's just, man. And maybe, you know, maybe we'll get, you know, something. Because I was thinking about, would it have been better if they split it up into like a trilogy? Or do you think it would be... Split.
Now that was gonna lead to what? That. Yeah, well, I don't know.
Trilogy no, or in the,
no,
in
Straight Outta Compton. Yeah. You could have called one Straight Outta Compton, Death Row, and then Aftermath.
Yeah.
I don't feel like you can do. Well, if you want to make money, you can do that. But I feel like if you're doing that, then you're just following Dre.
No, you could have combined Death Row and Lynch Mob together in some way or something where Cube and combine that all together and can make the titles, you know what I'm saying, kind of combine themselves together.
I would just say, if anything, because Eminem already had his 8 Mile, you know what I mean? But the one thing I would love to see that I think would be just as impactful, because this guy was actually a very big artist, is a film like of that quality, of that magnitude, a Snoop Dogg. So that's why I was saying, I think I left on your page like a Doggy Style or the Chronic film or whatever, just to kind of tell his story. And it would be dope if the like actors can still, you know what I'm saying?
Recreate themselves on that. Yeah. I mean, Pac is the obvious one that people wouldn't say.
Now that's being made, they say.
Yeah, but I think that movie's going to be so hard.
That's going to be horrible.
Pac is so fucking all over the place.
You can't even start it.
Because you can have, all of us could have met Pac and have 5 different characterizations of what this motherfucker was.
Well, they did say Asada Shakur gave the green light to a lot of things for whatever the film is.
But I'm saying it's, but it's only going to be his mom. It's going to be from his mom.
I just think she had like the rights to a lot of things that can help the film.
She owns all his catalog. She got it all back from Defoe. She owns everything.
Because here's the thing. With his film, it has to be his music. It can't be how the Aaliyah film was. You know what I'm saying? Which, I don't even want
to
talk
about. But
they
had no rights to none of the music.
I mean, I think you could do a Pac film because there is...
You mean Afeni Shakur, not Asada. Afeni.
Afeni. I'm tripping. But shout out to Asada Shakur. Yeah. She on my mind. Chilling in Cuba. Right on. I'm tripping.
I think you do a Pac film, but you have to shoot it from that sort of perspective. Like,
well, the premise I had for how you do it? Did I ever tell you about how I think the pop film should be? And I remember Javon was like, damn, that's pretty deep. Basically, I'm saying you have him on death row already at the beginning of the movie, and everything is flashback and flashing back forward. Like you could call the streets of death row or something like that. So he's already in this place, damn near finna die, and he's just reflecting back on shit that's happened in the past. So you don't have to do a straight linear thing. You can actually jump around and talk about different moments. So you don't have to have a linear situation.
And that's what I was saying. But the thing
and everything can lead up to, and you just really going time capsule. Really, you see him walking around doing whatever though. Like say for instance though, you can even start it from Vegas if you wanted to, and have him just getting in the car going to the fight and shit though, man. Damn, brother, I don't even know why I even got there and shit though. Maybe going back to his family growing up or whatever, and then maybe he's doing something else and then start thinking about something else, and he just standing there at the craps table, thinking about when he got with Digital Underground, and you can just kind of keep it like that.
I think that's a very solid idea. I think you would have to be real careful with that, you know, because just how you mentioned it, it's so many components.
Yeah, it would be from his mind instead of telling the story, so you can say someone's mind's jumping around.
No, I got you, but just to keep the audience, you know what I'm saying, engaged, I think they could be, but just to make sure that every time he's having a flashback, and which I believe you're saying, it would be a significant flashback.
Right, and it's not
to
just
his condition in
shit.
The present.
Yeah, and it's not just, man, I'm playing with my mom outside or something as a kid. And that long kind of drawn out linear thing. No, we'll go straight to, I get around. What's going on? You know, in this.
But I want to, I would really like a honest Pac film too.
Well, what I was going to say was like, you can do all of that in the same film. I just feel like, I don't know if the purpose, is more so on what Daryl's saying. Like, I don't think the purpose can be to tell a story. But
it doesn't have to be a good film.
What I'm saying is more so it needs to be the ability to show many perspectives. Because they've done that before with other, like, really polarizing. Like, they do it with Hitler a lot on the History Channel. Like, they'll give you 5 different perspectives of, like, what the Nazis were thinking, what the Jews were thinking, the people that were caught in between. Yeah. So you never really get a clear view. Like, there is no biased perception. Like, it's not Dre on... Straight Out of Compton, where I have to portray this image. Right. It's more so like you can see his, you know, you know, his creative side. You can see how he went from Brenda's Got a Baby to, you know, Fuck Bitches and all that
right.
stuff. And all in detail, but it, you can, and you can even highlight that with people who knew him during these different times.
That now, but I just want to say, that's dope. As long as it's honest, because we run the risk of it being a Dre-ism.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Kind of like, it's a highlight tape.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Because here's the thing. If you go on, shout out to the Red and Blue Pill out of Brooklyn, they were in, Red Pill was interviewing this guy I think you all may know him by the name of Bones Malone.
Yeah, Bones is the one, he's got the one that got hit by Shug.
Did he?
No, not Bones. That Bones. I'm talking about Bone, the dude from the Bloods that got hit. That was one of his name.
Yeah,
Bones.
Yeah, yeah. No, this guy.
The writer. The writer Bones Malone.
The writer. Yeah, yeah. And he was just saying like how he was around Biggie. You know what I'm saying? He kind of went into the story about how Pac even ended up getting shot while he was out in New York.
Jimmy Hitchman.
It's a little more complicated
Haitian
than that.
Jack and all them cats.
But he was just saying how Pac was a person, he would just be like, I could fuck with Pac during the day, but at night, I couldn't be around him. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just like if a nigga get drunk or something like this, they just start wilding the fuck out. And I think that would be very important for a Pac film so you can get true perspective.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
That's great. Like, I heard Jimi Hendrix was like that. You know what I mean? That they failed to cover that. Like, you know, he's just a fucking poetic genius in the morning, and in the moment that nigga hits some acid, it's a completely different nigga. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But the thing is, like you said, I think if you tell it from different perspectives, like people that knew Pac at different times, you can do that. Like, you don't get the highlight tape. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You'll get the like, this was Pac, period.
Because one of my cousins, like, true story, cousin to share the same last name as mine, which is Beep. He was out in Oakland, you know what I'm saying, doing this, you know, pharmaceutical thing.
Right. Go ahead.
But no, he was just saying how Pac was around, and he always was like, matter of fact, my cousin showed up at one of y'all parties, and we was in that mug talking for like an hour.
So it's me and you and him?
Huh? No, you had came by and was just like, what's up? And I introduced you to him. He was kind of, but you were just busy.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? But the thing was, he was telling me about the Pac story. And he was just saying, like, you know, my family called me Shotty. You know what I'm saying? So he was like, you know, Shotty, man, I thought Pac was this cool guy and this and that because of all of this stuff. But when I met Pac, I didn't even ask him for nothing. And he looked at me and was like, nigga, I ain't signing no autographs. You know what I'm saying?
But he was like that, though.
But I think it would be great to, not to put that part in the movie, but to put the fact that he was a true Gemini.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Flip it on you anytime.
And because it adds depth. That's why, just to take it back to Straight Outta Compton, to me, that's why I think out of all the characters, I think Ice Cube character had the most depth. You know what I'm saying? Because it just showed, at least to me, it showed him getting played. It showed him getting angry. It showed his naivety, if I'm saying that word wrong. You know, nigga be Metamucil, you know. But it showed, like, just all, it showed a lot of different facets of that brother. You know what I'm saying? With Eazy-E, it kind of did it. With Ren, I think Ren could have been included more.
Yeah.
With DJ Yeller, he was just about pussy and kind of was along for the ride, which may or may not be true. But with Dr. Dre, he was the super nigga.
But he also produced one of the best beats of all time, though, too, that I didn't even realize he did.
What's that?
Fucking For the Love of Money is DJ Yella's beat.
Yeah. He got a couple.
Which is dope, because he put that tape down in Easy, you know, in a hospital room.
But
with
that's
Easy.
DJ Yella's beat. But that album tape he put down is not that album. It's the second album, that East 1999. That's the one he put in front of Easy.
Oh, he put the East 1999.
That was the one
joint?
East 99 with because you got to think Easy was already on
Easy was on the first,
on Creeping on the Come Up. That's second album. And the reason I figured it out, because
he said they second.
No,
album.
He said Bone, check it out, Bone, because Bone would never sign the Ruthless. I saw an interview with Lazy. They didn't sign with them until after that EP.
Wow.
So maybe that's why it was like, we got Bone now. Because they just had a one
so For the Love of Money was on the first joint?
Yeah, that's on the first time.
Oh, I had that wrong all the time. On a side note, what's her name? Jerry Heller has said that with whatever album, he was saying that he was trying to make Crossroads their first single.
But they remixed Crossroads, if you remember.
Yeah. Right.
That Crossroads that was on there, that's, remember when you fought the
first
album.
But he was talking
album.
About the, I guess, the remix. Which
but it was too late, but that didn't make no sense.
Yeah, that
would
make sense
for him to say. They did the remix way after. Because if you listen to the album, they're not talking about Eazy-E on that song. They're talking about one of the other homeboys. That's what the album was already done. When you know, back in the day, it would take like 6 months for an album to come out.
Yeah.
Easy was dying after they'd already recorded and was already shipping it, getting ready to ship it out.
Right on.
Because if you remember, that album came out like April or May of the year. Easy died in March.
Right.
They went back into the studio and redid Crossroads, and that's when you had the Easy stuff.
They put on a maxi set.
Right.
And that's
right,
when you
right.
had, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what the fuck
So
Gary
I don't know why he
that.
Would say that, but. Theoretically, if it could have happened that the remix already existed, I would have agreed with him on that. As far as his point was,
he felt
they would have sold way more.
No, I think it was just on right on time. Because they still needed a little bit more street credibility. That first of the month came out, motherfuckers in the hood was bumping that first of the month.
But what was the first joint that Bone put out?
The Thuggish Ruggish Bone.
Thuggish Ruggish Bone.
That first album went three platinum. The EP
so I'm
went
thinking
three
like
platinum.
It was an underground six, cut that they
songs?
Put.
Yeah, it was seven songs.
But wasn't it like an underground, like an underground, underground, and then they put out Thuggish Ruggish? Because I thought they put something out before Thuggish Ruggish.
No. They had stuff recorded. Somebody that owned their masters before re-released all that shit. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to think because I heard No Surrender hella early. No,
that's what I'm saying. I heard
the soundtrack for something else.
But I heard something before Thuggish Ruggish.
The first single was Thuggish Ruggish.
They had other albums out.
But they had like, they'd be like if re-recorded with Rim. And then he had them. And he was like, well, shit, I own them. They blowing up. I'm going to re-release this shit up under my shit.
Same way with like 3-6 Mafia or something.
Yeah. Because trip off this though. If you go and look at when the single for Love of Money came out, it came out 7-8 months after the fucking album came out. How long that motherfucking album got juice on it.
Right.
That album came out. They new album came out in May. February fucking for the Love of Money single came out.
Wow.
Keep this in mind. And a new album came out in fucking May, June. That's how much that motherfucking album was rocking.
I always thought it was that one joint before Thuggish Ruggish, and Thuggish Ruggish was the thing that just cracked the concrete.
Thuggish Ruggish was it. Yeah. That was it. That's what Easy found.
I appreciate the history lesson, man. I got my history messed up because I always thought it was something where you was just like, man, these boys cold. Then Thuggish Ruggish just, oh, fuck it.
Thuggish Ruggish took, I remember that shit went to like that was played so much here, at least here in St. Louis.
Yeah.
So much. And maybe because we was more in the Midwest, maybe other people didn't get it like that because people on the East Coast didn't fuck with Bone. For real, until fucking Crossroads.
Yeah.
And but that album went 8 times
for
platinum.
Real. They weren't messing with them then. Really, when they did the joint, the Thug joint with Biggie.
Oh, Notorious Thugs.
Yeah,
and between Notorious Thugs and the joint with Pac, I always liked the one with Pac better.
I don't know. I like the Notorious Thugs.
I like that Pac one better.
I'm a Pac fan, and that Notorious Thugs one goes.
Because both of them dope, but I guess it just seemed like Pac and Bone just go together more than, you know, Biggie and I don't know.
And it's just interesting, all those different stories, those different things you want to talk about. And, like, honestly, a part of me wants to see a documentary on NWA, too, like an official, like, 2-3 hour documentary. Where everybody, you interviewing Michelet, you interviewing Above the Law, interviewing different people that was around.
Above the Law was so cold, boy.
But the Law was on Ruthless. You got to think about that. You got to think about that. All them artists was under Ruthless, man. Eazy-E on the low was killing it before your Master P's, all them, man.
Rest in peace, KMG.
Yeah, because you got rest in peace.
He did pass.
Yeah. This is the thing that's crazy even more. I know we're going to wrap up, but if you look at Priority blew up because of Ruthless. Then Priority saw that this gangster hood nigga in New Orleans named Master P was doing the same shit that Easy was doing, and they were like, shit, we don't want to miss this shit again.
Right.
And that's why he got the sweet deal.
Right.
Because they already had Ruthless up under them. It's like, well, shit, there's no limit thing. We gonna give them an even better deal. That's some other place. We ain't gotta even fucking visit no motherfucking New Orleans. Let this country ass nigga do whatever the fuck he want to down there.
Well, I gotta say this before we go, man. What do you think? This is my question to
the
squad.
With the Master P movie, they think he's trying to come out with? That shit's gonna be horrible.
I didn't know he was trying to come
out with a movie.
But I was gonna say, what do you think another biopic should be, man? What would be a hot one?
I mean, Pac is the one that's...
Me and you went back and forth with Jodeci.
This motherfucker says Jodeci, man.
Nah, dude, they don't got enough material.
They only have 2 albums.
They don't have enough.
But it's like with a Jodeci mixed with Mary J. Blige story. You got to put other people
in
this story.
It ain't long enough.
Okay.
And Biggie can show up in the story.
You can flip it. Now, this, if you did an Uptown Records story, then you could bring in Heavy D, you could bring in Puff. Now, that's a different thing, because all of them were signed to Uptown.
Yeah, but weren't they kind of on there for like a short... Not Heavy and them, but... Puff didn't stay that long.
But Puff discovered Jodeci and Mary J.
Right, but it would, so Uptown Records would have to be a smart, like if it's a Jodeci, Mary J. story and he discovered them, because right. then he ended up...
He's the one that gave him that, he executive produced that whole first Jodeci album. So that, right. then you have your movie is Puff involved.
Of course. He no, did that's the whole cool. first Mary See, J. See, that proves my point. That would be a good story. But the rise and fall, I just don't know how you would end the Jodeci movie. I'm working on it.
Smoking crackly, like past that. And then you have Dalvin calling them like, y'all need to quit smoking crack.
Right. After school special. But no, I was gonna say
Wu-Tang.
Wu-Tang definitely. Well, ODB movie is being made.
Yeah, but I'm just wanting Wu-Tang over
Wu-Tang. Me, my hip hop self will say Wu-Tang, but I don't know where the masses really get it.
I would think worldwide.
The Wu-Tang would
they still selling
t shirts.
They would kill it.
They would kill me. I
mean, that's what I would want to see. You know what I'm saying?
In the South, I would say Ghetto Boys. I would say like Dungeon Family.
But an Outkast movie, we was talking about that with an Outkast movie. Somebody, for real, is Luke, man.
No, that's my number one. Luke.
Luke will be a good one, man.
And he just put a book out.
Yeah, because I've listened to some interviews with him. I didn't know it was that deep with Luke or how he fucking...
He
was schooling cats on how he was getting millions when cats was still stuck in his whole, I got to get a record deal mentality. And how he was schooling, I think he was saying he was talking to like Run DMC and all of them.
Yeah.
Or whoever he was on tour
with. What about a Run DMC movie, though?
Tougher Than Leather kind of?
No, Tougher Than Leather came out in 89. Yeah. 88, 89.
I know, but it was one of those. I know it wasn't Crush Groove.
Because you got so much shit. Because you got the Jam Master Jay shit, him getting killed. That's a lot of shit you can go into.
Ghetto Boys.
Yeah, the Ghetto Boys. Now, see, I don't think the Scarface movie probably would be better than
did y'all see I'll say who it is, but the debate me to my Willie D was the best in the Ghetto Boys.
A lot of people say that.
Fuck what fucking planet?
I
was an asshole and I was like, I had to reply up on her thing. I was like, no one says ever. Because she was like, Willie D was like the best name. I was like, no one says ever.
A lot, especially down south, a lot of people say
I don't fucking get it. Scarface wrote all his lyrics.
Willie D probably was the most pronounced.
And he's
the
most real, you know, I guess the most hardest one, yeah. But
Scarface, I saw the genius in Scarface since day one.
Yeah. And I heard his new album is supposed to be stupid.
Oh, yeah?
Stupid. He got a track with Nas and Rick Ross.
And Nas put out the documentary, which was pretty fly.
People might talk about J-Movie. That's what's going to be next. Something like a J-Movie.
You got to get him to agree to that shit, because he's such a private nigga, you know what I mean?
The next one's going to be a Bill Cosby movie, nigga.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. We gotta wait for him to die, though.
Poison pudding.
They can start it now, nigga. About 3 years.
He said he start writing the script now. Be like,
start that motherfucker now, dog.
Woo! That's a heater, Teddy. And that Bill Cosby is a heater.
Hey. Cosby show to the Cosby hell.
Dude, that's a heater.
Dude, I'm telling you.
Cosby?
They waiting. Cos.
The Cos. No, I call it Cos.
The Cos. Coming straight out of
that. Used to have that pen on that show that made the noise. You remember that? Do, 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 do. Bitch, what's your number?
Ooh, that Cos movie. That might be number one.
Straight out of Philadelphia.
Leonard. Philadelphia, that's hot.
Yo, I was so happy about the Straight Outta Compton movie, man. I definitely, if you haven't seen it, kill yourself at this point.
You gotta go see it, man.
You gotta go
see it. Don't bootleg that shit.
Yeah, don't.
Not bootleg either.
Don't bootleg it. Teddy, let everybody know where they can hit you. Or not hit you.
You gonna pause that?
No, where can he hit you up?
Oh, I missed that pause.
Hold on, I was like, hold on.
Oh, yeah, that was a pause moment.
I missed
pause
that.
Pause the move.
Hey, I was waiting for Red to be like,
and someone's already said, I'm the most egregious person, though. I got all kind of pause fines.
Pause fines.
Yeah. Teddy, where can he hit you at, brother?
Theodore Simpson IV on Facebook.
But you're not going to send him a message first.
In the message, tell me that's where I know you from. Like, you a fan of the show or something. Because if you're just a random nigga in a Kool-Aid shirt, I'm not fucking.
They're going to be in there. I'm tired of hitting pause. I'm ready to push play.
Block, spam, delete. Report.
Rashad, where to get you up at?
On Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, it is Rashadism. Rashadism. Hit me up on all that.
All right, Reminisce, where can I hit you at?
It's all the same. Facebook, Instagram, DJ Reminisce 10. Follow me. You can check out my
It's gonna be up. It'll be up on our joint already. Yeah. So if you haven't checked it out, go to Stroud Low Cash and check out the Reminisce mix. Dope ass Sean Price mix. Hit us up on our email, straightolc@gmail.com. as well as our voicemail. You know, we got our moist voicemail box. That number is...
Did you say moist? Moist.
I was just saying
voicemail. Voicemail.
Moist. It sounded like you said moist mail.
That's
like,
awesome. That is
Voicemail.
That's
voicemail.
That's perfect.
The motherfucking alarm. When you get alarmed on this phone, it go, wee!
You get us up on the voicemail, which is 641-715-3900, and that extension is 769-558, and that number once again is 641-715-3900, extension 769-558.
Well, before everybody leave, got to put Teddy on the spot. I want to make a porno based off of Straight Outta Compton. What's the name?
Straight Outta Compton. Straight Outta Condoms.
Boys in the Hood.
One. Boys in the Hood. It's gonna be a gay joint.
It's based on NWA. Or it's based on Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah,
but you gotta be careful with that NWA because that shit.
Niggas with anal desires.
That's some shit I don't know. Come on, you gotta give us a name.
I'm trying
we go.
To think. I want a good one.
Niggas with AIDS.
Niggas with AIDS.
Hey, we'll sign up on that one.
That was DJ Remedy.
Email us too. OOC@gmail.com. You ain't shit, Remedy. Hit me up on Twitter, Dig Game. Dig Game ISU on Instagram as well. Hit up the Straight Outta Lowcast fan page.
Straight
Outta
Cock?
Straight Outta Cock.
Straight out of that's a lesbian joint.
That's a lesbian joint.
Niggas with AIDS. Is
damn,
good.
That's another before we yo man. That'd have been a nice whole part of fucking.
Where the fuck
Cube
was yo yo at?
I'm saying, but that's what I'm saying. It could have been three movies almost. Really, you know what I'm saying? Yo yo is a very big part of fucking Cube's going on. And why
Bonnie
didn't they
and Clyde
really?
Thing.
They should have had more emphasis also on the New York aspect.
I thought they was gonna go there. For
like
a while.
They, like I had to
but
look up.
But that's an Easter egg though too.
I had to look that up. That the fucking Chuck D was one of the dudes, and fucking Hank Shock Lee was
because,
one of the dudes.
Because when that scene comes on, just real quick, they had a big Public Enemy logo.
Yeah, but I'm saying they could have been. He could have been like, "I'm out in New York." He could have said one little line like that.
And what's the name? Cube said. Like, and it kind of just seemed like they already working on it, but he was like, yeah, I'd be down to do a Public Enemy film, which would be crazy. Yeah. That would be a dope
one,
that'd
be interesting, because you see Flavor Flav on Flavor of Love and shit and all kind of shit.
Yeah.
That'd be dope, though. That'd be dope, because they went through a lot of shit back then.
We could do it the hard way or the easy way. Easy E.
Oh, wow.
Starring Fleece Johnson.
Fleece Johnson.
As Easy does it.
And Dr. Dre spelled like D-H-R-E-Y.
Dre.
Oh, y'all, we gotta go. We'll see y'all next week. Straight Outta
Cube.
The easy way.
Easy Dr. Spray.